12 to 3 with the Rockers in the spotlight and Dottie Iris. And to start off the segment, She's So European from a LP that's out of print. Forget about getting it on CD because High and Mighty and Fortune 410, I'm only going to hear on here on the theater, folks. She's So European, 1983. Let's look back on Dottie Iris's career on the Rockers in the spotlight. Dottie Iris was born Dominic Iarice. That's the correct Italian pronunciation. February 28, 1943 in Elwood City, PA, but has spent most of his life in the Beaver Falls area. Dottie's early life into the music world was not an easy one. At age five, his mother used to play piano with him. His abilities brought him to the attention of the famous Paul Whiteman, who invited the young boy to appear at his national radio talent show. Guess what? Dottie won first prize and took home a brand new refrigerator, which he promptly stocked with beer in his garage. Dottie would often sing at weddings, as a young child. Later on, he started taking up the drums. But what started out so promising would soon go sour for Iris, who succumbed to the pressures of money and fame and the meaning of it all. He suffered through two broken marriages in his family and a chronic alcohol problem before even puberty. Puberty turned out to be a heavy load for Dottie in itself, and by age 11, he suffered a nervous breakdown. In fact, Shock Treatment from his 1980 album Back on the Streets is directly related to that early experience of the problem of the nervous breakdown. Two things, however, saved Dottie Iris from a path of self-destruction. The advent of rock and roll and a new pair of glasses, which became his trademark. He promptly formed a new group, given a new courage, Donnie and the Donnells, later the Jaggers, and the start of a professional career on Gamble Records in 1968. With the Jaggers, Iris got a gold record and a number two national hit with the rapper. After the Jaggers, Dottie Iris began a very chic link of gerbil clothing and watched his money grow. But the great Beaver Falls overflowed in 1974, it flooded Donnie's basement and ruined his livelihood. And his gerbil clothes business. And so he was in need of cash. He hooked up with Wild Cherry of Play That Funky Music fame. It gave him strength touring across the country. He heard the deafening applause. He got fired up. So Iris formed Dottie Iris and the Cruisers with ex-Wild Cherry member Mark Afsick back in 1980. The group cut five huge albums. Back on the Streets, King Cool, High and the Mighty, Fortune 410, and No Muss, No Fuss. Another great live album, recently released in 1997, is Live at Nick's Fat City. Dottie Iris's music is one of high production values, finely crafted melodies, and multi-layered choir-like vocals. And Dottie's, of course, trademark scream. His versatility of blue-collar style rock and roll allows him to move effortlessly from pure falsetto to street corner growl to a sweet croon to a piercing scream. He is open for bands like Foreigner, Bryan Adams, and so many more. And he'll be at the Hot Rod Cafe next Thursday night, March the 30th, and you can bet I'll be on stage bringing him out. I can't wait. Get your tickets to see King Cool, Dottie Iris at the Hot Rod Cafe, 981-3123. Dottie Iris, our special guest tonight on the Closet Classic Theater and the Rockers in the Spotlight. Dottie, let's start out by you talking about your early influences when you were a youngster and you began to have interest in rock and roll.
Early influences. I'll tell you what, John, I had a lot of them, but I early on, probably the biggest influence with me was some of the Motown artists, especially Marvin Gaye.
Hmm.
I thought he was great. I listened to a lot of his music. I tried to sound like him, and so on and so forth. He was my favorite.
Dottie the Donnells, musical beginning for you, one of the groups you started when you were a kid. Often, this is an interesting story, Dottie. You would play at your dad's bar, Lou's Tavern. It must have been pretty neat playing for your dad's establishment.
Well, Dottie and the Donnells started actually when I was in college. I started in college with... I met a friend up there that played guitar. Was living in the same dorm as me, and the two of us just kind of jammed together.
Mm-hmm.
And also another friend who played drums. And we got together and played a couple of college things as a group called the Tri-Vels. And I don't know, that was probably in 1962, maybe 61 or 62. And we did, like, college frat parties and stuff like that. And then we picked up a bass player, a guy that came to school with Slippery Rock. This was all done at Slippery Rock.
Yeah.
Got him to join with us. And then that's when we started playing some of the clubs, things like that. And we did a few shows with my dad over at Lou's Tavern, but not too many. Most of it was college stuff.
Where was your actual birthplace? Dottie Iris with us on the Rockers in the Spotlight on the theater on Y103 with Mr. Sports. I've read conflicting reports. Some say you're from Elwood City. Some say you're from Beaver Falls. You claim both to be your home. So which is it, Donnie?
Well, I lived in Elwood City, through my elementary and high school days. I was actually born in a hospital in Newcastle.
Oh.
I grew up in Elwood City, and then I moved to Beaver Falls probably in 67 or 68. But my childhood and everything was, I grew up in Elwood City.
Donnie, around 1968, late 60s, if you will, the Jaggers get to gamble, and they cut a tune called Baby, I Love You. But Billy Mabry, one of the original Jaggers, is doing the lead on the song. It doesn't really work out for the Jaggers, and Gamble drops you. That had to be disappointing.
Well, what happens is, first of all, I got together with the Jaggers they had asked me to join the band. The group was originally called Gary and the Joltones. And they were playing at places up in Geneva on the lake, and the Jaggers, the backup musicians, wanted to do something else, and they had heard about me, and they wanted me to join the band, and that's how the Jaggers formed. That was from that Gary and the Joltones band. After that, the Jaggers were together doing clubs for years, probably, I don't know, 6-7 years before we ever had an offer for a recording contract, and that was with Gamble. And we had done Baby, I Love You and a couple of other things. And then I think what had happened was after that, we decided to leave the label, cut our own tracks, producing our own stuff. And then that's how we came up with The Rapper, and that was in 1969 and 70.
So it was in January of 1970, the number two pop hit on the charts, just missed out being number one from the album We Went to Different Schools Together, the tune, Donnie, The Rapper.
The Rapper, a song that I did with the Jaggers back in 1969. It was a hit in 1970.
Two song of the country, then a member of the Jaggers, and The Rapper from January of 1970, right here at Y103, the Rockers in the Spotlight. Looking back on the great career of Donnie Iris, who's going to be playing at the Hot Rod Cafe Thursday night. And we have a pair of tickets to give away tonight to that great concert, okay? So continue to listen. No phone calls right now, as Donnie is live with us on the air here at Y103. Donnie, looking back to your classic rock influences, since that's what we do here at Y103, who are some of the classic rock artists that you admire a lot?
I don't know. I would think, as far as rock music is concerned, Led Zeppelin was one of my favorites. Of course, when the Beatles came out and the Rolling Stones and those people came out, I had obviously an affinity towards those bands. Later on, when Zeppelin and people like that started coming out, I also, and Jimi Hendrix and those kind of people, I loved them.
Yeah, I mean, who didn't? We just heard The Rapper about your first hit in 1970. They say it's never as good as the first time, and it wasn't easy to get a label, in fact. You guys recorded that tune for the label Kama Sutra after getting dropped from Gamble, and then after Gamble dropped, it was very tough to get picked up by a label for the Jaggers. The Jaggers were kind of wallowing in no man's land for a while, but it had to be exciting to have that big hit on the radio. I mean, you were virtually a kid then.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, nobody expected anything. In fact, when we did The Rapper, we did probably three or four other tunes that we tried to shop to different record companies. And we got turned down by at least a half a dozen, maybe even a dozen record companies before Kama Sutra gave it a shot. But once it happened, when I started hearing it on the big radio stations out of New York and Chicago, WLS and WABC, and those stations were playing it, it was driving in your car and you hear it on those stations and you just get goosebumps. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, number two hit in the country. That had to be exciting. Let's go back to late 1980. In fact, December 1980, you go 29 on the pop charts. A tune, Aaliyah, written with a lot of love for your second wife, your current wife, Leah Iris Jones. Tell me about the song and from the album, Back on the Streets.
Aaliyah was a song that Mark Avsek and I had written in the basement of my home on the piano. And we decided to take it into the studio, and this is what happened.
Wow.
Aaliyah from Back Up the Streets in 1980 and Donnie Iris. We talked about at the outset of the interview about the high production values. You hear the screams in the background, the lead vocals, the harmonizing. That's all Donnie Iris being multi-vocal tracked in the background. He is that talented, folks. He sings high, he sings low, and he's got a great regular singing voice as well. He's very, very versatile. Music Lane is a special guest here on the Closet Classic Theater with Mr. Sports.
Hi, this is King Cool, Donnie Iris, and you're back on the streets with Mr. Sports on Y103.
Y103, Donnie sings a lot about heartbreak. After all, he's been through a divorce, and he's been hurt a time or two himself, and that one, a good one for any guy trying to get over a relationship. I Can't Hear You from the 1980 album Back on the Streets. Donnie, my special guest here on the Closet Classic Theater on Y103, an exclusive right here on All Rock and Roll Classics with Mr. Sports. And we're talking to Donnie on our Rockers in the Spotlight up until the top of the hour on the Closet Classic Theater. Donnie, you toured with Wild Cherry, a group that is from Steubenville, of all places, and played that funky music fame, who had that number one hit in 1976. How extensive was the touring, and what exactly was your involvement there? I think you were involved with the last album after Play That Funky Music, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, right before that, I had done some things with B.E. Taylor. Okay. He and I were together for about a year, you know, just doing some acoustic sets here and there in colleges. And I met Wild Cherry while I was doing some work in the studio. And he asked me, Bobby Parisi asked me to go with him. Now, this was after their number one hit. So mm-hmm. I had been touring with Wild Cherry, I'd say about a year after that song had been a big smash record, and we went all over the place. I mainly toured with them, did some recording with them, but most of my stuff with Wild Cherry was live gigs.
What about the formation of Donnie Iris and the Cruisers? Talk to me about how that came about around the year 1980.
Well, when I was with Wild Cherry, that's where I met Mark Apsek. He was their keyboard player, and while we were on the road, Mark and I had decided just to get together and go in and do some studio tracks and see what would happen on our own. Mm-hmm. And we came up with the Back on the Streets album. And Mike Belkin and his organization in Cleveland was handling us at the time. We brought them the product, and they put it out on their own little label there called Midwest Records.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, it was picked up by MCA after the record had already started making a lot of waves on many radio stations.
In fact, Midwest Records is the same label that recorded Cleveland's Wild Horses of Funky Poodle fame. Donnie Iris with Mr. Sports on the Closet Classic Theater. All right, one of my favorite all-time songs, again from the Back on the Streets album in 1980 on MCA Records, a tune called Agnes, written for Donnie's ex-wife, Agnes Iris Evans. And an interesting story about Agnes.
Agnes was one of the first tunes we wrote. We were sitting around jamming, and it got off on this little lick and decided to put some lyrics to it and some melodies to it. And of course, Agnes rhymes with sadness and all that other stuff.
I read where Donnie's vocal track there was multied some 60 times. That's him singing in the background as well as the lead on the tune Agnes right here on Y103. One of my favorite tunes from the year 1980 on the Back on the Streets LP would put Donnie and the Cruisers, Donnie Iris and the Cruisers, rather, on the charts. Donnie, are you satisfied with your national appeal? You've had 7 chart hits, but you're huge regionally in Northeast Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. But what about the national appeal?
Well, you know what? We did a lot of touring, and the people out there all over the country were into it. I mean, they were, no matter where we went, it was cool. There were a couple of bad gigs, but I'd rather forget about those. But most of them were great gigs, and even in my travel some days I still hear some of the songs on radio stations all over the place. So they're still playing them, and not like they used to, but, you know, they're still in some sort of rotation.
Donnie, I have an MTV video of you. I used to tape MTV back in the early 80s when it first came out. I think it debuted in like 80 or 79, and the Buggles did TV Killed the Radio Star, I think it was the first video MTV played. Well, anyway, you're doing Love is Like a Rock, and it is really cool, and you're doing it in front of a live audience. What was your impressions of the MTV age and what it did for artists back in the early 80s?
Yeah, we did that show in at Blossom in Cleveland. And they decided to use the live version of Love Is Like a Rock to throw on MTV. Before that, we had Leah. We also had a video of Leah that we did in San Francisco. Now, whether or not that hit, in fact, that might have been right before MTV was strong or started on the air. I don't remember. I don't remember if Leah got on MTV or not.
What about Love Is Like a Rock? 1981, brand new album now called King Cool goes top 40 on the charts.
Love Is Like a Rock was something that we had done also in the studio. We were sitting around jamming, put the instrumental track down, and Mark and I sat at the console and wrote the lyrics for it.
In fact, Donny put out a video live at Blossom back in the early 80s, a rare gem and a treasure if you can capture it. Love Is Like a Rock right here at Y103 from 81's King Cool. Donny Iris from Mr. Sports, my special guest. And make sure you get tickets to see the great King Cool in concert. It'll be Thursday night. I'll be out there hosting it for Y103 in the Hot Rod Cafe, 3 by the river downtown Sharon. It's like my fifth Donny Iris concert now. It'll be March the 30th. You better pick them up now. They're going fast. You can get them through the Lubes drive-thru in downtown Sharon. You can also charge by phone at 724-981-3123. Only $12 in advance. If you show your Y103 Insider Club card, you get them for only $10. Donny Iris at the Hot Rod Cafe from the number one concert station in town, Y103, folks. And Donny Iris is the start of many great things coming to the area, courtesy of Y103. And we're proud to bring Donny to stage and to concert. He's always a great, great time and a dear, dear friend. We're coming back with the last segment of Donny Iris and the Cruisers next on Y103. In fact, Donny put out a video live at Blossom back in the early 80s, a rare gem and a treasure if you can capture it. Love Is Like a Rock right here at Y103 from 81's King Cool. Donny Iris from Mr. Sports, my special guest. And make sure you get tickets to see the great King Cool in concert. It'll be Thursday night. I'll be out there hosting it for Y103 in the Hot Rod Cafe, 3 by the river downtown Sharon. It's like my fifth Donny Iris concert now. It'll be March the 30th. You better pick them up now. They're going fast. You can get them through the Lubes drive-thru in downtown Sharon. You can also charge by phone at 724-981-3123. Only $12 in advance. If you show your Y103 Insider Club card, you get them for only $10. Donny Iris at the Hot Rod Cafe from the number one concert station in town, Y103, folks. And Donny Iris is the start of many great things coming to the area, courtesy of Y103. And we're proud to bring Donny to stage and to concert. He's always a great, great time and a dear, dear friend. We're coming back with the last segment of Donny Iris and the Cruisers next on Y103. Listen to Donny's high-piercing vocals in the background. Ah, oh, I love that song. That's The Way Love Ought to Be, one of the songs he does in his current set right here from the album King Cool, 1981. On Y103, Donny, my special guest on the Closet Classic Theater from his home in Pennsylvania. Donny, most memorable thing that ever happened to you? Certainly there have been a lot of highlights, but if you had to pick one particular instance, what would it be?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that ever happened was of course, the rapper as far as you know, the amount and the bigness of the record. I mean, it was, out of all the records we had, that one still has sold the most copies. I mean, off the bat, I think it was only on the charts for, I don't know, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, maybe more, but it almost hit number one on Billboard. It was number one on Record World and some of the other publications, but the sales of it, you know, the company had given us all gold records for it. I mean, it was the first time we had ever done anything so big. The other stuff that I did with, you know, Donny Iris and the Cruisers, a lot of those songs had hit the charts and everything. But as far as overall sales of a single record, I don't think any of them really come close to what the rapper did.
Let me ask you about your musical content and the songs that you write. Mark Afsack, of course, also assists you in that capacity quite a bit. You sing a lot about women. We talked about your wives, Agnes and Leah, your current wife. Also Mary Lee. You sing about heartbreak and love a lot, Injured in the Game of Love, That's the Way Love Ought to Be, I Can't Hear You. Are there any truisms behind this? I know you're touchy about this subject. Sometimes you don't want to talk about it, but are there any truisms?
Well, I mean, you know, all of the tunes that we do, and most of the tunes are about love and lost love and things like that, and wanting to get them back. These are all experiences I think that we all go through.
Right.
And, you know, we, although some of the tunes were written with particular names in mind, most of them were kind of disguised or just written. For instance, Agnes was just written because it rhymed well with other words. I mean, who do you know that is? Who do you know? Do you know any Agneses?
I know them, but they're all about 90.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you. I mean, that's my honest opinion. Donnie, no offense there, Donnie. Back to the year 1981 and the album King Cool. You go 80 on the charts with a tune that just about everybody loves, and it's called Sweet Mary Lee.
Sweet Mary Lee was something that we had decided to do a song with another girl's name, and the melody that we had on the tune seemed to fit this particular Mary Lee name.
The eight tracks, and we always jam the Donnie Iris, the class of 81, at McDonald High School. So, Donnie, of course, I grew up with your music, but I've got to ask you this. This is for your fans, okay? This is from your fans. Why do you not do Mary Lee and My Girl in your live show? I just want to ask.
the reason, the main reason for not doing Mary Lee was that song had been more of a studio type project. We really didn't think that the song was going to turn out to be what it was radio wise, mm-hmm. but it did well on radio. But to recreate it on stage without the equipment that is available today was just too difficult to do. I mean, we could probably do it now with all the technology and everything involved to
right.
make the song really sound good. The other one, My Girl, was a song that we thought was okay. But that's another story, because we had fought with the record company. We wanted Love Is Like a Rock to come out as the single, and they wanted My Girl. And and when we did My Girl on stage, it just didn't have the punch and the oomph that some of the other tunes did. I mean, it's a nice song. It's don't get me wrong. I like the song. I think it was well written. But to do it on stage, I don't think it had the quite the effect that some of the other tunes do.
So there you go. Some of the fans now know the answer to why you don't do those songs. Well, let's go to My Girl, and we'll go back to it was released in early 82, done from the 1981 album King Cool. It ends up being the song that you guys probably didn't think would be, but it ends up being your most successful chart hit with Donnie Iris and the Cruisers at number 25, the great song My Girl.
My Girl was actually a song that that we had written that put us in mind of late 50s or early 60s type of a groove. We wanted to do something like that, and that's how we came up with that with My Girl.
Fabulous tune. Never get tired of hearing. I mean, never. My Girl, Donnie Iris and the Cruisers, most successful all-time chart hit at position 25 right here on Y103. We're going to go a couple minutes over with Donnie Iris and the Cruisers. I want to remind you, you're listening to WYFM, all rock and roll classics, Y103, with Donnie from his home in Pennsylvania. Donnie, they say, a local music historians say, you are to Pittsburgh what Michael Stanley is to Cleveland. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, I would. I would definitely say that. Michael's been a big star in Cleveland for years, and we have done, you know, the Pittsburgh scene for years also. And we're still doing it. I mean, we still go to these clubs and play places like Nick's Fat City down on the south side at least a couple times a year. And, you know, still great crowds, great fans. And I don't know. It's just a thing there and also the radio stations in Youngstown and Pittsburgh, for the most part, have been supportive of everything that we've done. So, you know, that makes a difference, too.
What about Youngstown? You mentioned Youngstown, the radio station. What about the town itself? Do you have fond memories of playing in our area?
Yeah. Youngstown, and we used to always do a thing in the show where we would say, we would be doing a show in Cleveland, and I would say, we'd done shows in Cleveland and Pittsburgh, and then we would come to Youngstown, and I would say, you know, there's people in Cleveland think they know how to rock and roll, and people in Pittsburgh think they know how to rock and roll, but there's a little town in between them, and they would start going nuts. They knew what I was talking about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and Youngstown's been great. I mean, I played Youngstown with the Jaggers and, you know, at the old Agora Club, and which turned into the Tomorrow Club,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we played Youngstown a lot, and Youngstown's always been great, great to us.
From the year 1983, around summertime, you go 64 on the charts with another great, great song. The tune, Do You Compute?
Do You Compute? We were in a very, very heavy computerized frame of mind when we did that. Somehow we wanted to tie that into to a love song, and that's what we had done.
In 410, and the year is 1983, a song that went 64 on the pop charts, finishing things up here with Donnie as we go a little bit over, because his concert coming Thursday to the Hot Rod Cafe. Donnie, one of the reasons why I always like to go to your concerts, in addition to hearing your great songs, is, of course, all the great-looking women that flood the stage, particularly up front, and just wanting to catch a glimpse of you. It is fantastic. I love it.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. All I can say is I know that there's a lot of fans out there, male and female, that come right up front, and some of the faces I see are the same. But yeah, there's just those that underground core of fans that and it seems to be in most of the places that we play. I mean, it's great. It's just unbelievable what some of these people have done. There's a guy from Uniontown that started a website on us that's just phenomenal. I mean, this kid is such a fan, and it, like I say, his website is phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, you've got websites. In fact, one of them is www.donnyiris.com, and on that website, you could pick up the album No Muss, No Fuss, just recently released. Of course, you guys originally recorded that back in 85, your last chart hit on the HME label. And Mark Afsick, also a member of Donnie Iris and the Cruisers, involved with the production of that at Primary Records Group in Westlake, Ohio. What about the tune Injured in the Game of Love, another song that you do in your sets, Donnie?
Injured in the Game of Love we can all relate to. I think everybody has had, situations where you just fall head over heels for someone, and sometimes they, you know, there's a lot of pain involved.
Donnie Iris, No Muss, No Fuss, just available on CD. And log on to his website at DonnieIris.com, or contact Primary Records Group out of Westlake, Ohio. And you can get that CD. The address is Primary Records Group, P.O. Box 45316, Westlake, Ohio, 44145. Donnie, in closing, what do you do in your spare time? I'm curious to hear about that.
I like to play golf, John. I mean, I'm a very, very big golf nut.
Well, my wife works at Avalon.
Okay? Is that right?
And me and you, we have an engagement to go out there. We'll play 18 together, okay?
I would love to.
I would love to. You'll kill me, though. I'm not that good.
Yeah, I'm not either.
In fact, I'm going to take Scott, Donnie, and we'll make a foursome out of it. What are your current projects? What are you up to? Update your fans.
Well, Mark and myself and Marty, the guitar player from our band, along with some other people, have started a record company. It's probably a year or two old now, and in the future here, we plan to try to get more aggressive with it as far as signing up some artists, especially from the Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Youngstown area, because that's where we have the easiest access to see these bands and to see what they're all about and see what's going on out there now in the newer music. I have a lot of future plans with that record company. I'd like to get more heavily involved and more aggressive with it.
Boy, it sounds interesting. Donnie, I can't wait to see you Thursday, March the 30th, coming up at the Hot Rod Cafe. And, man, we're going to have a great day. You're one of the few people, by the way, I let it get by calling me by my real name, John, and not Mr. Sports.
That's right, John. That's what we'll do, man.
All right, buddy. Donnie Iris right here on Y103 and all rock and roll classics. Went a little over with it, but I think it's worth it.